Hello, friends! Welcome to the Little Bit We Wish podcast, where I, Megan Cardenas, chat with my friends about the anime I love episode by episode, except today I am with Kaylee Wheeler, and we are going to be talking about the Toilet Bound Hanako-kun manga, specifically volumes 4-6. I am so pumped. Kaylee, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, man, I am so good, and honestly, I am so pumped to talk about the biggest plot twist, the shocker of all shockers.
I remember texting you and like, have you read this part yet? Have you gotten to this volume? I need to talk to you about this.
I know. And I think you had read it before me because immediately when I got to that point, I texted you and I was like, oh my freaking gosh, I did not see this coming and I am not well. it was just so shocking. So I guess let's just dive into it, but also let's just say that this is the time where we start getting into new source material that isn't necessarily like cutesy to know, like the last episode. We're getting into like spoiler territory where this could make or break it for you. So yeah, as much as we would love to have you guys keep listening, I just want to say there will be spoilers and they will be kind of critical. So proceed with caution is what I'm saying. You know, I think that's fair.
Yeah, we got the yellow tape out. Dunk under if you want to be.
Exactly. So let's just dive right in. Of course, the Toilet Bound Hanako-kun series is by Aida Iro. And we're going to just dive in to volume 4. And specifically in this series, or in this volume series, it talks about the Little Mermaid and Mitsuba. So both of those topics were covered in the anime itself. And it's in a different order. It's not exactly the same. I don't know why they changed the order, but this is what we're going into.
It's a massive, like a whole arc is missing. Like a really great one.
And you're talking about the second part of the fish moment, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Yes, because seriously, I thought the same thing too, where I was like, holy freaking crap, this would have been way cooler if they had this in the anime. So again, I don't know why they changed the order, because I think how the story is laid out in the manga is just perfection, with where you get little bit of information here and there, and it just builds to this fantastic story.
Yeah, it has so much more background and recurring, like you see somebody and then you come back to them and then you get more background on someone else. It is, don't mess with perfection, anime producers. Have the source material. Please use it.
Exactly. I 100% agree. Now, let's just go into the fourth volume. It took me a billion years to get this, like over a freaking year. But holy crap, it was worth it. I feel like the story in this volume takes a shift to being a little bit more dark. And literally, like, all the comments on Goodreads, almost all of them said, wow, this story just got darker. You know? It was kind of funny how many comments said that.
Right. And, you know, we're about that. I like the darker
memes.
And
yes.
And just how it's illustrated in here. Beautiful. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a better illustrated, between like the fluffy cute moments to the dark and sinister, flawless.
I 100% agree with you there. But yeah, let's just go in. In Spook 16, again, we say spook instead of chapters because that is just so clever of them. I thought it was interesting seeing the genuine fear from Hanako seeing his brother. We know he's called Amine, obviously, from the anime, but this is the first time we see this in the manga. But what's interesting is that this transition from this moment is different from the anime, because at that moment, that's when the mer people fish find Nene, and they want to give her this mermaid's lifeblood to break this bond from Hanako. And I was kind of surprised, because it seems like she actually was, like, going to contemplate actually going through with it. I was kind of surprised.
See, I wasn't, because the fish were appealing to her vanity. Like, she's going to be royalty. The boys are going to love her. And they see how Hanako is treating her, like, you know, kind of doesn't trust her enough to fill her in on his past. I mean, she made him donuts. He flung them in the air, like, didn't even eat them. So I think they're, like, watching her, and they know what's going to appeal to her. Like, what are we going to tell her to make her come with us?
You know, I guess
boy fish are going to love her. Done deal.
True. I guess you're right. I mean, even Tsuchigamori says, you know, why not do this? You know, the princess treatment, no experience required, no academic background or qualifications required. Sounds good to me.
I see why he's your husbando. He is so funny.
I love him. But okay. But what's hilarious is that ultimately, like, she does decide not to go with them. And then they're like, but wait, like, look at all of these fish that you're turning down. Or, well, these boys, these princes that you're turning down. And turns out it's they're all fish, and they made ink rubbings of them, which,
you know, ink rubbings. I really want to start calling pictures that.
Yeah. And it was hysterical because, like, obviously that would be a deal breaker for Nene if she knew all of the details. But because she did it, she was legitimately contemplating it. And then it became a really devastating blow to her ego when she realized they were fish.
Right. Not even handsome ones.
I know. They're pretty intense. But I did want to say, I saw a translation note about the fish prince, because, you know, we love the translation notes. We love learning about the Japanese culture and how it relates to the story. So there are fish prints called Gyotaku, which are a traditional form of Japanese art practiced by fishermen to record their catches. They paint one side of the fish with ink and then rub it into the paper to create a life-size print. So I just thought it was funny, like, that this is something that Japanese fishermen do with their catches, meaning that the fish are literally dead or going to be officially dead. And yet these fish that are very much alive are also mimicking the same practice. I just thought it was funny.
I wonder if that's the only time they see what they look like, is when they see those, like, ink rubbings of themselves from the fishermen. And they're like, oh, what? They're honoring us.
Hysterical. So funny. I also want to let people know, if you're hearing any, like, papers, again, we're looking at the manga. You're getting the ASMR version of the paper turning.
Try to do a few.
But okay, I think there's something cute that I want to talk about with in Spook 17, but is there anything that you want to talk about in Spook 16?
I like when Aoi says, what have you fallen in love with this time? to Nene. And I'm like, oh, that does describe her in a nutshell. And then I do like how it's interesting to see how confident Hanako is most of the time, but then he's hiding behind a curtain because he's afraid to face Nene.
Agreed. Yeah, It's like he couldn't keep his fear from her in that moment. So it's kind of like he's experiencing shame, or he's experiencing just this uncharted territory of being vulnerable for him, I guess. And so, yeah, he is not ready to face Nene, but Nene is, you know, contemplating other options because she just is so confused by Hanako and his, his, I don't want to say mysteriousness because he's a school mystery, so it seems like I'm being punny, but the words are not coming.
I mean, it is, though. I mean, she doesn't know his background. So he is this super mysterious being that she has a contract with, like, literally is tied with fates with him. So
true. I 100% agree with you. Now, okay, in Spook 17, there is the part where Hanako saves Nene from becoming a fish and going with the fish. And he, I thought it was so cute. He thanks her for the donuts and he confesses about his brother. And he also says, he's like, I forgot to say that before. I've never had a girl tell me she likes me before. It made me happy. And I just was like, oh, my heart is melting for these two. And, you know, of course he says, I had a younger brother. I killed him. And he said, so Yashiro, do you really want to get to know me? If you do, then someday I'll tell you everything. Be my assistant until then, okay? And then they just, like, pinky promise. And I just thought that that was so sweet and innocent of those two.
Ugh, but I wonder if that means that their friendship's going to be over when she knows everything. Because it kind of seemed like to me this is the ultimatum. Once you know everything, our relationship is kind of going to be terminated. Either because what he did is so horrible, or I don't know. It just kind of sounded like a end of the line kind of thing to me.
Well, Kaylee, given the thing that's we're going to talk about in Volume 6, I'm like, maybe you're right. Oh, crap. Okay, well, put a pin in that. All over. I do want to talk about this though, because this is why I feel like the order is so important, that I'm like, why did they change things? The manga is so much better. Like, the anime is 5 out of 5, but in comparison to the manga itself, it's not even, it doesn't come close. So, okay. But we get this little moment where Tsukasa goes to his little gang. And, you know, the fish finds his crew. And, you know, at first he's like, well, hey, maybe we can get him to help us. And then we can, like, take out Hanako and get Nene. But, oh my gosh, this is when you see how twisted Tsukasa is. Because he just grabs that fish and he just says, he finds out that this is a talking fish. And he grabs it and he's like, what do you think talking fish are like on the inside? And then he just is like, I'm just going to take a little peek. And he ends up killing this fish. And I just am like, why wasn't this in the anime? Because I feel like this would have better illustrated, again, the derangement and, like, unhinginess of Tsukasa, you know? Like, why wasn't this in there?
I don't know, because this would have been the perfect balance between what we see Hanako protective, loyal, that we know of, and and his little brother that he murdered is obviously, you know, there's a reason why he murdered him, right? Because look how deranged he is when he's a ghost.
Right. Well, and on top of that, it's like Hanako carries that label of being the murderer, the bad one, you know, the one who can't be trusted because of this, you know, past that we're slowly learning about. But it's like, then we see the brother and we're like, how did it escalate to this point? You know, I mean, we can kind of get an inkling of what might have happened based off of these personalities. But it's a pretty big difference. And I just wish it was there.
Yeah. Plus, it's just a good scene. You see a fish murdered.
Yeah. Well, even Sakura and the one dude whose name escapes me right now, they just kind of like look away and sigh, and they're just like, I told you not to do that. But they were just like not freaking out, which, you know, I feel like Nene would do that, Ko would do that. They're like relatively calm about it. And it just makes me wonder, how often has it happened, you know, for them to be kind of neutral about it, you know?
Right, right. Like they said don't, but then he did, and they're like, oh, well, there he goes again.
Right, right. Now let's see. In Spook 18, I'm not going to lie, I still struggle with Mitsuba. He is just as intense as he is in the anime, and I struggle with it.
He won't go away. He's in every single one of these that we'll be talking about today.
Seriously, I hate to say it, but he kind of is like my least favorite character. He's not my cup of tea, we will put it that way. He's just really kind of abrasive is how I would describe him. But I feel like this part was very true to the anime. And there's the part where Tsukasa, he says, humans and supernaturals should just be however they want. If it's enough to break the world, then it's better off broken. He says that on page 123. Mm-hmm. And again, I feel like that just shows his personality, where he is just full of chaos and he kind of just like loves it.
Yep. Chaos goblin.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything you want to say? Sorry, I kind of did take a big jump. Did I miss anything you wanted to talk about?
No, I didn't really have much. I mean, all of this is mostly in the anime. That, yeah, I mean, it's nothing really super new.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's see. There was one line, though, that I wanted to talk about where it's on page 150. Because, you know, Mitsuba, he's basically died. Well, not died because he's already dead, but he's been
transformed.
Right after Tsukasa. And, you know, Ko is obviously so upset. And Hanako tells him, it's no use. You can't be so kind to the dead because we have no future anymore. And I thought that that was horribly sad. And it just made me think, you know, you can't be so kind to the dead. You know, be kind to others while they're still here. You know, while they're alive, and you can, you know, be a positive influence in their lives in the present and in the future,
you know? Yeah, because there is no way to change once you're gone, so.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is a very powerful message, I think.
Right. Sure. But yeah, so I think that that's honestly a wrap with what I thought for volume 4. So do you want to talk about volume 5?
Yeah. Let's get on to 5. Which is funny because my volume is printed wrong. So if you can see, it's like a little bit off to the side and then it's upside down.
No! So,
yes. And I'm so scared I'll never find another one. So I'm like, I'll just deal with it. So I had to read it upside down and right. So we read right to left. So this is left to right like a normal book.
Wow. Okay. That's a serious bummer. Everyone go check your manga volumes. Make sure they're okay.
You know, when I looked, I was like, this looks a little off with this spine. And then I opened it. I was like, oh boy.
Where did you buy it from? Do you remember?
Barnes and Noble.
Barnes and Noble, check your inventory. Not that they listen to this episode. No, for me, I had kind of a gap in my library, so my manga books had tilted to the side, and they had stayed that way for a long time, so now it kind of bows a little bit.
Oh yeah,
for volumes 5 and 6, and I'm like, no,
usually, I ruined them.
I know, because usually I'm so good about like keeping care of my books, but apparently this was just not a good time for them till I realized. Because
you're looking for 4 for so long.
Yeah, exactly. I was waiting on 4, so I just like didn't even notice, but yeah, bummer. But yours is worse, I have to say. Mine is like small violin compared to yours.
Yeah, I did that to make you feel better. I bought this one just for that reason.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, okay, everyone. For volume 5, basically, this covers the tea party and the 3 o'clock, or the 3 clock keepers, which if you're like, what are the 3 clock keepers? Well, surprise, this was completely out of the anime. And so...
furious about.
Okay, me too, because literally I had spoiled myself by reading the after school Hanagukan manga volume, because again I had been waiting for 4. I'd spoiled myself with the identity of the three clock keepers, and I was so mad when I realized that. And the fact that it was omitted from the anime entirely is frustrating. There has to be a season 2, or at least like a reboot, if they don't get their acts together. Because
it's been 2 years since the first season.
It's been so long, and honestly, this is perfect. But they need to pick this back up. Anyway, sorry, we can say that like a billion times, but. Let's just dive
see
in.
All this anime, then. Yeah. I just need to watch it.
Exactly. But let's just dive right in to this volume. You know, of course, Nene in Spook 21, she gets lulled into a trap disguised as a tea party because of a cute boy. But I thought it was interesting because Sakura said, like you, I have been bound to a supernatural for the price of a wish. And it just makes me wonder what her wish was. Because we know that Nene's was about her crush, which is so superficial. But it just makes me curious what that wish could have been. And again, it just...
We'll talk about it in a little bit. Yep.
Okay, all right. Because of my whole theory, like, with Sakura, where I'm just, like, she's with Tsukasa, who deals with wishes for the dead. That's why
So she has to be dead, right?
That's why I think that she actually is dead, yeah. Or she did a wish on behalf of someone who is dead, but I genuinely think it's actually Sakura who is dead.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess that could be a thing, but... I don't know. That'd be weird to do. I guess if someone you love was dying, you would maybe do that.
Yeah, I don't know, but that's why, because so far we haven't seen Sakura interact with the student body yet. We've only seen her in a supernatural assistant capacity. But here, Natsuhiko Hyuga, that's his name, he operates with the student body. So I think he's human, obviously. But I don't think that Sakura's alive.
No. Because the only time she's really involved with the human or the student body is through the radio, her voice.
Right, exactly. Through the radio or Nene, who is in a special position herself. So...
Right.
Makes me wonder what her wish was. And I'm so curious to hear the little light bulb moment that you had when...
Oh, that's what it was.
Oh!
You did. You said that. I was like, oh, okay. It's not as clever as I thought.
No, you know what? It just makes us you know, we're using our noggins. We're using our little, I guess the wheels are turning.
Our little noggins.
Yeah. But okay. Now I will say, like, the tea party obviously goes, like, pretty much according to plan. Like, very true to the anime. I don't think we need to go further into it. Do you?
Yeah, the only thing I wanted to say is, once Nene gets done complaining about Hanako, all I can think of is Zuko saying, "That's rough, buddy."
Yeah. Worlds colliding. Yeah, he totally would say that. Now, for Spook 23, this is where we start getting the brand spanking new information on the number one school mystery, the Three Clock Keepers. And I guess this is where I'm just sending a warning to the people, like, if as much as we want you to be here, you will be spoiled by some things. And so proceed with caution. If you don't care, keep going. But yeah, we're going to talk about the Three Clock Keepers, because I was shocked by this storyline. But okay, so basically, the Three Clock Keepers, they handle the past, present, and future of the school. And the one who handles the future is obviously, like, she's just run amok. And while they're trying to, like, get the future clock keeper and also, like, handle this whole situation, they start to suspect Aoi, Nene's friend. And honest to goodness, it proves that she's not the school mystery, but for the longest time, I was like, holy crap, this is where we find out the secret identity of Aoi. And obviously,
if we're so suspicious of her anyway.
Right.
And then earlier, she's like, "I have to tell you something, Nene." And then we don't find out what it is. So they're kind of, like, trying to point to Aoi, but of course we know it's not, but...
I know. And you know what? To that I say the jury's still not out, because I refuse to believe that she, the keeper of all the rumors, is just, like, somehow knowing these things. I still have thoughts about her. But turns out, it's her childhood crush, who is the supernatural school mystery. He is one of the three that embody number one. And what's his official name?
Isn't he Aoi too? Like Aoi something?
Yes. Yes, he's the last name is Aoi, because they're like, you can't marry him because then you'd be Aoi Aoi.
And they're not wrong. No, I'm just kidding.
I actually knew a guy whose last name is kind of a first name, and he ended up marrying a girl who literally had his same last name. So, but obviously she kept her original last name, so she doesn't have a maiden name, it's just her last name. But I just thought that was funny. Like, hey, good for you guys. You didn't have the last name, first name thing. Like, stop you guys. So...
Right. Love prevailed.
Yep. So these two Aois, you know, I'm rooting for him.
I don't know. He is intense.
Well, that is true. But you know what? Anime people, we love an intense romance. We're like, heck yeah. Like, here we are. We're rooting for Nene and Hanako's.
And I know. What am I talking about? I cannot judge.
But yeah, so basically, let's see. Sorry, it's Akane Aoi-kun. There we go. That's his last name.
Akane, that's right.
And he is one of those school mysteries, which is shocking because I had no clue that humans could even, like, be a school mystery. I just was like, what in the plot twist is happening? But turns out it can. And
he's just like a part-time school mystery because he is human sometimes.
Right. And, you know, the whole backstory happened because he saved Aoi-chan. which I thought was so adorable, that he wished so hard that he could save her, that she would be alive. And because of that, he was then able to have the power to control time. And, you know, essentially, does he still hate the Supernaturals, even though he's kind of a part of it? Absolutely. Hates them with all their guts. You know, but he has this power and responsibility. And yeah, like you said, it's kind of a part-time contract where so long as he's still a student at the school, he will be in that role.
I think it's 6 years he has to be, so the majority of the time.
Right. So it's kind of wild that they were able to make that happen. Now, of course, the other two of the three are Supernaturals.
Full-time Supernaturals.
Exactly. But it blew my mind that it even happened.
I do love how they find out when Hanako goes inside Nene's body.
Oh, and my gosh.
He's like, excuse me. Oh, let me just get in there for a second.
Well, what's hilarious is, like, and kudos to the artist of the duo, but it's so interesting because it's like clearly it's Nene's character, but you can tell by the eyes and the mouth and just like the body expression that mm-hmm. it is 100% Hanako in there.
Yeah.
I also love that.
And that would be amazing to see in anime form. But alas, we got the confession tree, which is cute, but this is so much better. Why couldn't that have been in season 2?
Right. And just in general, why is it out of order? Again, someone answer that to me. But, oh my gosh. But yeah, the very ending was so, it was so good of this volume. Where basically, he just was like, you basically always got a chip on his shoulder. He hates all Supernaturals. And of course, that means he also hates Hanako. And he says, you know, he's a murderer, right? They don't know how precious it is to be alive. They just don't know how valuable being a human is. Reformed villains really make me sick. So what if they're good now? Does that erase what they did? What a joke. Don't you see? It doesn't matter how good you are now or who you help. You can never take back what you did, because once a person dies, there's no bringing them back. And it's just like,
hard.
He's not wrong, but dang. And then, of course, Hanako kind of like turns it in his favor, which I'm not gonna, you know, spoil that one-liner. But it's just like, he keeps having his past thrown at him, Hanako, and we don't even know the reasons. It's like the reasons don't justify the result. And so they keep harping on this, like, once you die, there's no turning back. And once you do this horrible thing, you aren't going to be a good person. You can never be a good person. And that's the whole reason why Hanako is trying so hard, because he does want to try to change his fate, even though the odds of that ever happening are so stacked against him.
Right. I mean, he is paying the price. He's been at the school watching the living while he has to take control of all these wild school mysteries for decades. I mean, I can see both sides, of course. Like, murder's wrong. You can't do it right. I mean,
yeah,
basic human decency, right? But on the other hand, you know, second chances. Or how much should you pay to, I don't know, you know, make the sin go away, right? I don't know. It's just, right. It's hard.
Right. Well, even in the manga and the anime in the beginning, he talks about, like, atoning for his sins. Which is a very interesting concept, considering that, you know, he is dead. He is not living anymore. But
right.
It's like everyone, including Hanako at times does, there are times when they just don't believe that redemption can happen. And sometimes Hanako even brings it up himself. Like back with Mitsuba, he said, we no longer have futures. So.
Right. So stop trying to make things better for us. There is no making anything better.
Right. So yeah, but of course the ending, really, really great. Shocker of the 3 o'clock mysteries. But let's move on to volume 6, because if the 3 o'clock mysteries felt like a shocker, this next little nugget is truly going to blow that out of the water. And I am not exaggerating. Everyone, if you're still with us because you think I can handle these spoilers, I'm going to tell you, this is the part where I literally texted Kaylee and I said, I am so unwell. Yeah. And I'm still not well.
No, because we don't have a resolution and we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, but this is like the crazy trajectory. Like in my mind, like if they had gone in order, again, I swear everyone will try to keep those kind of comments to a minimum. But why did they end season 1 on the note with the mermaid fish when they could have ended the season on this news drop bomb? Like,
yeah. Oh, right. Because people would be with pitchforks, like, give us season 2 if this would have been the ending.
Seriously, it would have been a shock. So I guess, like, for real people, I'm not going to warn you again, but, like, if this is it, where you're like, okay, I'm going to stop because I don't want to spoil it, thank you for listening. But if you still are like, let's keep going, we warned you, is what I'm saying.
We're just saying don't add us because you got mad of the spoiler, is all we're saying.
Yeah. But okay, let's just go kind of in order because, I mean, the news does come quick. Basically, in this manga volume, we cover, again, the 3 o'clock keepers, and then a section called Searching, and then Reach Out Your Hand, which the Reach Out Your Hand is the hand scene that eventually pulled Nene into the Hell of Mirrors. Again, why did they do it out of order? It is what it is. But basically, back to the 3 o'clock keepers. Eventually, through this alliance, they finally get Mirai, the future clock keeper. And.
But she doesn't have a name, a cane, right? Or I probably said that wrong. Just named her future in Japanese because she has no name.
That's so cute. Well, that's adorable. Right. But chaos ensues because she just makes everything old. But she kind of touches Ko, and because he's an exorcist, he doesn't, like, change old.
Not old, man, but glow up.
Yeah, talk about... Woof. Yeah, talk about a glow up. Literally...
And then it's like, oh, okay, Ko.
Well, Angie's like, wait, I want her to touch me so she can make me pretty.
Right, with skinny legs.
Yeah. But I thought it was hilarious because Hanako's like, hey, she can't, like, change her physical appearance. She can only make you older. And Ko, in his older form, you know, he's just like, senpai, you're cute enough just the way you are. And how she, like, adorable. And she just, like, jumps by Hanako because she's so creeped out by how gorgeous Ko all of a sudden is, and she's just like, I'm sorry, don't get too close to me.
I will fall in love with you if you get any closer to me. Yeah. I can't handle your hotness.
Exactly. But you know, Hanako tells Ko to not have Mirai touch Yashiro, but unfortunately Mirai is just so fast. And she is cunning and tricky, and she does anyway.
She says, I'll make this girl look hotter. Yeah. While she's going to touch Nene.
Yeah, but instead, what happens? Nene does not get older. Mirai says, I can't move her time forward, honorable number seven. Does this mean she has no time left?
And this is probably like, what do you mean by that? And the next page.
Everyone, leave now. We're getting into it. Basically, that's when Hanako says she has no time left, which means, just like it sounds, that Nene is going to die within the year.
A year.
Nene is going to die, you guys.
And Ko's like, how long have you known? And Hanako says, how long? From the beginning.
Yes. And I am unwell. Nene didn't have enough time to move forward, hence why Mirai couldn't make her change. She is so little on time. And there's a part that I want to read. Hanako says, it's not because I tied her fate to mine, okay? He says, it was always her destiny. First of all, only people who are close to the far shore can summon me to begin with. Someone born with a powerful sixth sense, like you, or someone whose death isn't far off. And he...
Excuse me, Hanako?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
And Ko is livid. He's like, how could you act like this was nothing? What are you talking... Like, and then Hanako just gives him this, like, death glare, like... crazy eyes. And he's just like, how am I supposed to act? You're gonna die soon, but live life to the fullest until then, okay? He's like, is that what I should have said? Oh,
maybe.
Kaylee, I am not well with Nene dying. I'm not okay with it. I just don't. Like, how is it going to happen? Like, what's going to go down?
I don't...
Like, Mitsuba had a horrible accident. And so I'm just like, what is going to happen with Nene? With her dying? I just...
I don't know, and I don't want to find out. I want it... He needs to do something else to make it not happen. Well, I don't know.
Well, and okay, this kind of ties in with my theory with Aoi-chan, because Tsuchigamori said that basically there are some supernaturals who choose to stay in the human world to talk about the rumors. And I think that that's why Aoi, the popular girl, the girl who's so special, is friends with Nene. Not because, like, a popular girl can't be friends with, like, the weird goth girl, but just because in this sort of, like, sensing of her limited time left, Aoi makes this connection and friendship with Nene. Because we don't know how their friendship started, but that's why I kind of have a theory about Nene, or about Aoi-chan also being special, because... of Nene's limited time, just like that, that's probably why their friendship is as deep as it is. I don't know.
I like that.
But yeah, I'm...
Maybe she'll give up her immortality for Nene to live. I don't know. Something needs to happen.
I don't know. Stop it. Ko is livid, obviously, because... he refuses to believe that she has such limited time left. And I'm not going to lie. There's a part that got me super choked up. Obviously, I was super choked up to begin with. Because, you know, obviously I freaking love Nene. And I don't like the idea of this. But basically,
she is best girl.
Yeah. But basically... it broke my heart because he's just like, I have tried to help Nene enjoy what's left of her life. And I just, like, thought about all, like, the adventures that they had, like, for better or for worse, and I just thought, like, yeah, this is kind of a wild ride of excitement that this little girl would have that she otherwise wouldn't have, you know?
If she... Right. Like, what if she never heard that rumor? And then she would just die in a year uneventfully.
Right. Still obsessed with boys, but I think far less strong of a person as she is now. Plus, she wouldn't have, like, had her friendship with Ko either. So...
Oh, and that's just a shame.
Right. Exactly. But yeah, why didn't they end the anime this season on that note? But yeah, so what gets me really choked up, Kaylee, is that the part where Hanako just says that he tried to help Nene enjoy what was left of her life. And, you know, I kind of thought about all the adventures that they had up until that point, and it kind of broke my heart in a good way, because I would say that despite all of the scary parts, that she actually has had a really wonderful adventure of her life so far, and what little bit remains, you know? And so...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it makes me sad that she has that little bit of time left. And of course, Ko has to continue on like he doesn't know anything, and obviously that would be extremely devastating. I would hate knowing that.
But he chose it. He said, "Don't let me forget. Like, make me remember." So he's determined, and I believe in Ko, our knight in shining armor.
I love Ko. Yeah.
Me too.
But okay. So yeah, everyone, that was like the big juicy detail. Our heroine has a ticking time that's going out for the... Yeah. She's gonna die. I'm trying to say something clever, but I can't because I just am still so shocked. So yeah, but...
It's been months since we've known this, and we're still like... Really?
Yeah. Unwell. But basically, let's move on to Spook 28. The Misaki stairs now have a new rumor, which to me was hysterical, because Yako's like, I want to file a complaint. And she's like, so mad that the Misaki stairs are now known as the the greatest romance power spot.
The Misaki stairs.
Yeah, it was hysterical, but then, of course, another funny part was just that Ko had to ask Tsujigamori for something, and as an incentive, he had collected a large quantity of insects that they voluntarily censored in the manga.
It's blurred out in the next panel.
Oh, it's just so funny. But Ko, bless his freaking heart, he wanted to know if there was any way he could save Nene. But, oh my gosh, here's what's adorable, though, is that Nene's just so happy to be there. She's so freaking cute. And because she's trying to find Hanako. And Tsuchigamori, he just puts his hand on her head and then gives her this, like, little smile because he knows about her fate. And I just think this poor teacher, he has known the fates of every single student. And, you know, Amine died an untimely death. And then here's Nene also, who will have an untimely death. And he just has to smile and not freak them out, but just live with that knowledge. And that makes me sad for him.
What a burden.
Serious.
And then to be a supernatural on top of it and have to live with that over and over.
Ugh. Seriously. It was an uncharacteristically sweet thing of him. But then, of course, the sweet, tender moment gets some humor right after that, because, of course, Ko wants to know Nene's future and if there's any way to change it. Mm-hmm. And Tsuchiko Mori tells him about Nene's immediate future that's going to happen literally in a few short moments.
And he is not happy with it. He also does not like what's about to happen.
Yeah. Ko reads what's going to happen and he gets grossed out and he's like, it can't be true. And what is going to happen?
Today's big event.
Nene Senpai is going to kiss Hanako.
Her first kiss. And I'm actually like, okay, let's go.
Seriously, it is so silly how much I'm like loving this. But yeah, it was so freaking cute. So basically, Nene tries to find Hanako because she's just wondering. And oh my gosh, okay, one of the stops, she sees Minamoto Senpai, so Ko's big brother. And there's a point where, Minamoto Senpai obviously hates supernaturals, so he kind of has this, like, weird relationship with Akane Aoi, you know, the clock keeper.
Yeah.
But there's that moment where, let's see. Basically, Nene asks where he can find Hanako, and then, you know, helps her out. And then, I'm trying to find it. He says something.
I think it's page 116.
Huh?
I think it's 116. When he's getting punished.
Oh, well, there's that where he's just being, like, really weird with, yeah, I did not like that about Minamoto, because I was just like, ew, you are, like, the pretty boy that's also, like, an undercover psycho. But no, there's the part where he just says something, like, really odd that Nene, bless her heart, thinks is, like, him being profound, which is sexy. But he says, like, once you've learned something, you can't go back before you learned it. There are many things in this world that are best left unknown. That's what I mean. And she's like, oh, that's great. But then when she leaves, Akane is just like, basically is just like, why are you like helping her find, you know, honorable number 7? And he's just like, oh, I'm just going to have her check up on him. And he's like, besides, there's no way to protect her anyway. And Akane says, no, right. No. So you did know about Yashiro-san's life expectancy. You're a shrewd bastard, Aoi. And then Minamoto says, Aoi, watch how you speak to your elders, and takes his little exorcist sword and gives him a zap. Again, I don't like Minamoto Senpai, but yeah, that means that at this point, Ko now knows, Hanako always knew, Tsuchiko Mori knows, Akane knew, and Minamoto Senpai knew. Everyone is starting to know or has known about Yashiro's life expectancy, and we just barely learned it.
Right. I think it's like the Ko is starting to accept and befriend these ghosts in the supernatural, where his brother's the extremist, probably from his family. So it's like a balancing act between the two. I wonder if they're going to come to blows eventually, or Ko has to fight his family.
I feel like he might, especially given the next episode that we'll touch on, if I remember to touch on it. I feel like they will.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, of course, spoiler alert, Nene does find Hanako. And here's what...
On the roof.
On the roof. And what's so great is that she can tell that Hanako is having a hard time. And so what does she do? She pulls him to her and gives him a kiss on the cheek. And it is just adorable. And what does she say? She says it's a magic spell to help him feel better or something. Just like the little kiss of protection that he gave her so many volumes ago.
We're coming back around. I love it.
Oh my gosh, it's so cute. And then, of course, he blushes and he's about to give her a kiss because he's just like, you can't do things. He's like, you can't do go around doing things like that. You're a girl. You have to be more careful. Because he's like, don't do this willy-nilly. Because he's got feelings. Willy-nilly. But yeah. And then, of course, just before he can kiss her, Ko comes and he's just like, get your hands off of Senpai, you dirty rotten perv. And Hanako just leaves. He's like, well then, Yashiro, thanks for everything, with a heart.
Right. And Ko's like, what do you mean everything?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it was so freaking cute. I lived for that. And again, I wish that was also in the anime. But alas, we haven't had that yet. Now, of course...
And then now she's, like, she's melting into the roof. Like, with the little... The ghost, when she gets really embarrassed, she turns into that ghost, little cute thing. And she's just melting into the roof.
It's so cute. And then, of course, the last spook is so similar to the anime. It's where she gets pulled in by the hand through the mirror to get to the Hell of Mirrors. So I don't think we need to go into that, but holy crap, I freaking loved it.
Yeah, I mean, we learned a lot of stuff. Not that we liked, but.
Well, yeah, that is true. That is very true. Because, I mean, I loved it, but I also hated it. And I feel like people who read it will totally get it. But yeah, everyone, I think that that is a wrap. So thank you so much for joining us. We're so happy that you listen a little bit Weebish. And if you'd like to support us, the podcast, the best way to do that is by sharing this episode or reading the manga and, you know, following along. It all is just so wonderful to have you guys join in. The next episode will be our last episode covering the Toilet Bound Hanako-kun manga. So we hope that you liked our coverage of that. We're going to be covering the volumes 7 through 9. So be sure to read those volumes or be just cool with the spoilers. And yeah, Kaylee, tell the people where they can connect with you if they want to talk about Toilet Bound Hanako-kun.
I am on Instagram at awkwardkaylee, and that's Kaylee with two, well, it's awkward and then K-A-Y-L-E-A-A, because my name's spelled weird anyway, and I just added an extra A to it.
Yeah, I like have to, I like subconsciously have to tell myself that your name isn't Kaylia, which I totally thought it was, and you're like, no, just Kaylee.
For like the first year.
So,
you know, my coworkers call me Kaylia, and so when they call me Kaylee, I'm like, are you mad at me? I'm like, why are you calling me by my real name?
That is hysterical. Well, yeah, everyone, of course, we would also love to hear your thoughts. Feel free to send us an email at littlebitleebish@gmail.com or send us a DM on either Instagram or TikTok. Thank you so much for being here. We will all see you guys next week.
Bye.